There you go. It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Good morning. I'm super happy to see that so many actually showed up for this session here. 300 and something signed up, and I was like, if I at least get 10, 15 in the room, and you know, just start one new user group, then it's totally worth it. Let me start by presenting myself. My name is Kent. And this session here is my first ever level 100 session. So no demos, no code, no nothing. It's just all about, you know, how you can go ahead and start your own local user group. With me in front here, I have some of the best user group leaders. That would be you, Wally. That we can offer here at Ignite. I have some sponsors who is going to tell you what you can do, you know, to reach out to the sponsors and get some help, because you need help from sponsors. We have Microsoft in the room as well, who is going to tell us about, you know, how we can reach out to Microsoft and you know what they can do to help us. It's really not me showing a lot of slides, because that's not how you start a user group. It's kind of you asking a ton of questions. And when the sponsors present themselves, they have promised me they will not turn it into a sales geek. If they do, I have this young gentleman here with a blue ball in his hand, so he will punish them like instantly if that happens. So first off, I mean, why do you want to start one? And then second, how do you go ahead and start a user group? Because you probably all, you know, want to do something, and then you're just like, now what? Who shall I contact? How do I get speakers? How should we do this? Is this like an all-day event, or can we just, you know, meet once an hour for, you know, every second month? How do we build this framework here? And then, as I mentioned, we have word from Microsoft and word from some of the sponsors. You have already shown that you have a deep passion, because you found B203 9 o'clock in the morning. So all of you in here, you passed round one, you're good. You have a passion about a technology. I personally have, I've been running a user group back home for like 7 or 8 years, and it all started because me and a fellow colleague, we had a passion about system center, enterprise, and data center management. So starting our user group, it took like 30 minutes. We met at the old MMS, and it was like, hey, shouldn't we do something? And back home, the guy I'm running the user group with, we are actually competitors, so we're working for two different companies, which is only a very, very, very good idea, because then that user group will never be, you know, turned into a sales show or anything like that. It's real community work. There are some resources. So I have the links up here, but there are some resources from Microsoft. There are some Wikipedia pages that will give you some good advice on, you know, on how to get started, what you should do, how you can get funding. So there is a technical community organization where you can go in and say, hey, I have this great idea and I want to get some funding. And I've tried that 7 years, and I've been denied 7 years. I was denied last week as well. but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying. So I have these resources here, and besides the first row here, those are really what you want to look into. So the whole idea is that each of the user group leaders, they will go ahead and present themselves, tell them how they run their group, because when you start working with a user group, you will see that they're super different. So for instance, if you go to the Midwest, you have in Minneapolis, you have a user group there. They're meeting like for only 2 hours. Very interactive user group where everybody will, you know, bring their questions and discuss and so on and so forth. And then you have other user groups where it might be a full day event, and you'll have 4 or 5 speakers, and it's more like, you know, an event like Ignite. So there are so many different ways of doing this. But Mike, if you can take the mic and present yourself and how you run your group.
Yep. So my name is Mike Terrell. I run the Arizona Systems Management User Group in Phoenix or Tempe area. We're actually just past our 10-year anniversary. like Kent, I went to a session at the old Microsoft Management Summit, and there was a session just like this by a guy named Ed Aldrich, who was a Config Manager MVP, talking about what you need to do to start and run a user group if you can't find one. The first thing you want to do is look to see if you can find one, but there wasn't any in Arizona at the time, so I was like, well, let me start one, see what I need to do. He gave a lot of good tips, tricks, and whatnot, and 10 years later, you know, we're having a big meeting next week to celebrate that, so.
Cool. And how do you run your events? Is that typical a full-day event, or is it?
Yeah, so most of the time, the events, the scheduling of the events are going to be challenging because you're never going to be able to satisfy everybody. If you have, like, a full-day event, people will say, well, I can't get out of work for a full entire day. And you got to try to tell your boss, well, it's effectively free training that you get, unless there is a membership fee. But each user group kind of varies. In that case, we don't charge. We try to collect funds from sponsors and vendors to pay for things like, you know, refreshments and that kind of thing. But most of the time, we usually shift our hours. Sometimes it's 5 to 7. We've tried to do 3 to 5 so people can cut out of work a little bit early, come attend the meeting, and then still have family time. So it's really kind of what works best for you. And coordinating with your speakers is a big thing, too. So if you've got speakers that are coming in from out of town, it starts to become all about logistics. So it's their availability, too. So those are some of the things that you need to think about when you do schedule time. One thing I would recommend is not try to start too heavy, because then you get people that see it as, well, I'm not going to go this month if you have monthly meetings. So for the longest time, we were trying to do every other month. So we'd usually get about 5, maybe 6 meetings in a year. And then this year, I know Kent does a quarterly thing. So I tried to shift to more of a quarterly schedule. So we're only going to shoot for 4 meetings this year. And that's kind of good because I actually had a lot of interest in users emailing me about, hey, when's our next meeting? So it kind of gets that anticipation up there and people wanting to actually attend another meeting. So, and lastly, you want to give them enough time so that they can put it in their schedule. So I try to at least put something out there like, hey, pencil this in, you know, 4 weeks out so that they can plan ahead instead of, you know, a week or 2 weeks before, oh, hey, we're having a meeting in a week, and then you're not going to get a good attendance that way.
Yeah, so. Thanks. So I'm the next on the list. So as Mike is saying, I'm running quarterly meetings. Our meetings are a little different in the sense that it's a full-day event. It's a free event, and normally we will have anything between 50 and maybe 180, something like that. When it's a free event, it also means that we rely on sponsors. We wouldn't be able to do it without sponsors, those sponsors being, you know, the industry sponsors and Microsoft as well. Our user group, it's not as old as Mike's. It's 7 years. We now even get speakers who are mailing us and say, hey, can I come by and, you know, speak at your group? And it's not like the speakers, they need, you know, they don't need to get paid, because if they want to get paid, they're in, I mean, that's not community work, right? So the only thing we really need to do is just give them a flight ticket and then, you know, a hotel for the night, and then usually take them out for dinner. And getting speakers is, for our part, not difficult at all. And getting at least one interesting speaker that just works in Scandinavia. It's like every time we get one from the States, they go like, wow, a real American? and yeah, that's just how it is in Europe. And we also started our own YouTube channel just recently. Normally, when people are asking me, should we be broadcasting this live, I'm like, nah, I don't really want to do that because that might kill the discussion. And it's all about, you know, discussion. So if you broadcast stuff, you know, people might not want to share what they're really doing, and community is really about sharing. Um, so So I'm not a huge fan of that, even though we are doing that. But now we're asking the speakers, so you'll mind if we broadcast this. So the discussion, the Q&A after, will not be broadcasted. Here you go. So besides that, I'm also involved in some other user groups. I added in here New York, and that's because I hope that there is someone in here from New York. We have been trying to start a user group in that area. I don't know how many times. and every single time, you know, we run the first meeting, and then some people might show up, and then, you know, no one is really, you know, catching the ball and moving on with that. But if some of you are from that area, I would love to talk to you. Then we have Matthew.
Howdy. I'll talk about two different things, because I'm from College Station, Texas, so I'm in the middle of Texas, so I have a two-hour drive to the Houston meeting user group. I can go a two-hour drive to the Austin user group and a three-hour drive to the San Antonio user group. So I typically sometimes make the way around the state. I've never actually made it to the Dallas one, but yes, I can, 3.5 hours I could get to Dallas. So the Houston user group meets quarterly. We do meet at the Microsoft office. That is a good place to start, because it gives us a platform to say, well, here's more training and so forth. For my group in College Station, it's at a university, trying to get the university groups together. And that basically started at meetings once a month, just a round table, literally in a boardroom, talking about systems management. That could be PowerShell, VBScript at the time, what have you. And then we moved into more refined half-day meetings. HazMug, which is in Houston, is typically a full day, networking about 9 o'clock in the morning all the way through the end of the day. Typically one sponsor, they do have a community session, so typically you'll have a group, somebody from the group will present on some topic. It could be how to do PowerShell, it could be how to do SCOM, SECM, it doesn't really matter. We're not focused specifically on just SECM. The idea is to get the community together. Granted, because it's oil and gas, there's a huge group that is oil and gas, and so we talk about some of the intricacies of how to deal with rigs and load bandwidth. I don't think there's anything else on there that I'm trying to think. No. That's about it.
That's about it, yeah. Wally?
Hello, I'm Wally. I've been to most of the user groups that, Mike's I've been to, Kent's I've been to, the ones that Matthew mentioned I've been to. And they're all great. They're, as Kent mentioned earlier, they're all different. I've now started helping out with the one up in the Seattle area. We're kind of unique that we're pretty darn close to Microsoft up there. We have our meetings at one of the Microsoft technology centers there. It's about 5 miles from campus. So you would think we'd have a great advantage of getting great Microsoft speakers coming over, but we don't always. But a lot of the stuff that the others already said still hold true. A couple of things I would add in there, board of directors, or at least having more than one person. So if you just have one person trying to run your user group, then things can slack off because one guy gets busy with work or family issues or whatever it is, and things fall by the wayside. So our user group for the longest time was just one guy from Starbucks, who's a config manager administrator there, and he was trying to run meetings every other month. Then when I left Microsoft and I started helping him out. We got a guy from Dell that moved up from Texas up that area, so he's helping out. We got another guy from 1E. So we got four of us that are on the board of directors to help spread the load of what you have to do. And now we're doing monthly meetings. So we have a meeting every month. And ours run from 10 a.m. We usually meet at a donut shop about 9 a.m. just for some conversation, walk over to Microsoft. 10 a.m. to around 2:30 to 3 o'clock. Sponsor will come in and they'll provide lunch for us, and then we'll give them a 45-minute hour session to talk about their technologies. But the rest of it is all primarily configuration manager, sometimes other topics. But from my mind, the key thing, obviously, getting sponsors, so you got meals covered for that day, and obviously making sure you have Microsoft to help provide location. We've tried other locations and they don't get very successful. We tried going to Redmond once, which is 5 miles away, and attendance dropped that one. So people thought that 5 miles was too difficult to cover for whatever reason. So they being in the common location at Microsoft works out really well. And then have multiple people to help out with the logistics and get things going. One guy does our website, another guy does the invites, another guy does the acquires the sponsors, and I try and get people from Microsoft to show up since I still know a lot of people there. And we highly encourage participation, so we try and get their members to present on their own. So a great way of doing that when you start your user group is to ask them, how many of you have upgraded from ConfigMan 2012 to current branch? And then what was your experience like? So just sitting down in the room and they're sharing, talking for a couple minutes about what they did, that kind of breaks the ice for them to talk to others. And then we try and get them to do that more frequently. At our next meeting, we're going to have people that are here at Ignite do a recap of what they learned at Ignite. So again, getting them to talk more in front of everybody. And we've been successful in getting a few of the people actually up on, not on stage, but in front of everybody else, giving a half an hour, 45-minute session that's something that's relevant to them. So that helps as well as you get more of the community participation, and that drives other people to get more free with doing that as well.
And one of the things that Wally mentioned could be a showstopper for some. I know that he mentioned, you know, setting up a website and so on, and you go like, holy crap, I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the time to, you know, maintain it. I can quickly show you what we are doing, because I am known to be super lazy. And so is my partner in crime when running the user group there. So what we are using, Meetup, and it turns out that, you know, setting up a Meetup site takes you like 30 minutes. So once you have done that, in here, you know, you can send out invitations, you get everything for free here. So this is how we do that. I know, Mike, you have a Facebook group as well, or a Facebook page?
Yeah.
Oi.
Yeah, so another thing that user groups get, and they've been doing this for a while now, is you get Office 365 for, I think, 25 users. But you get a SharePoint page out of that. So when I initially took the dive and did that, I'm not very artistic. So my page is pretty bland, but it's more of a parking page, and I registered my azsmug.org domain there. With social media taking off, I felt the need to actually create a Facebook page as well. And then for registrations, I used to use what they called readytogo.microsoft.com, and we were planning our January meeting in December. I was trying to use that site, and it was so slow. I swear that thing is running on somebody's desktop underneath their desk at Microsoft that I gave up, and I switched over to Eventbrite registrations. So it's really about kind of when people are searching for a user group in the area, you know, helping them find it. And unfortunately, there's so many different channels of communication to do that. Luckily, the search engines will pick it up if you type in the right term. But you want to make sure that users can, A, find you, B, know when your next event's going to be if you have one planned.
Yeah, cool, thanks. One of the things I like about Meetup is that now when we are having meetings, we actually encourage our members to, you know, engage, you know, upload photos, tweet, and what have you. And they're doing that. So now we have only been using Meetup since, I think it's like since April. But now we, you know, getting a ton of photos here. And why is that important? It's important because when I go to the sponsors, I can say, see, this is, you know, how many members we have. This is how active our, and that will just help me hopefully get, you know, to the next pizza and so on and so forth. So I really like this. I'm not an expert in Meetup, sorry, but I just know it works for us. They do? Okay. Yeah.
Microsoft is promoting Meetup for user
groups. Oh, they are? Okay.
Hey, we got a question, Kent, over here.
Yeah. It's so the question is for sponsors, how do we, you know, what is it exactly that we are? So for us in Denmark, we have like a program. So when you sign up as a sponsor, you can be a gold sponsor. If you're a gold sponsor, it means that you will get 45 minutes, not at every meeting, because we will have four gold sponsors, but we'll have a sponsor session and they will get like 45 minutes. We also tell them that if you turn this into a sales pitch, you'll see 120 Danes walk away, go out and drink coffee, and come back when it's interesting again. So that's, and we're very frank, and our sponsors, they know that. So it's always a sponsor session. Everybody knows that, but it's technical. So I highly encourage you to do that. So we have gold sponsors, then we have silver sponsors. So a silver sponsor, they can have like, you know, a booth around. They can, you know, be present. We'll have their logos. We'll introduce them during the in the morning. But they don't get a speaker session. And then we have bronze sponsors. That's typical. You know, all of the attendees, their companies, they know that, hey, we're actually giving 4 days training for free. So they will just, you know, chip in to get this group going. So that's those are the steps. I don't know how you do it.
Bang. So for us, we do it on a sponsorship on a month-by-month basis, so meeting by meeting. So I know some of the really good established groups that are like Kent's and Brian's in Minneapolis, they have sponsors every year. But we just have a vendor that will come in and sponsor lunch for that meeting, and then they'll give a sponsor session about some technology that's relevant for our group, which is going to be System Center related. And I know that's very popular in a lot of the user groups that I attend, is they just have them for that one meeting. But some of the real good ones, they get the sponsorships for a year-long basis, but then you have to worry about tax things and get set up as a 401c or whatever it is type stuff. So
we don't pay tax in Denmark, so we don't worry about that.
In the U.S., we happen to pay taxes, so we have to worry about those things.
Yeah. Okay. One of the sponsors that we, you know, we are using in Denmark a lot is Microsoft, and we have Ken here. So if you can just...
Yeah. Hello. My name is Ken, and I'm product marketing for System Center and Windows Server and a bunch of other stuff in Denmark. As a marketing guy, I'm actually not using a lot of money on telling people about stuff that we already sold. I would rather spend my money on stuff that people haven't bought yet. So when Ken approached me some 4 years ago and asked me if I could sponsor some of the events, I was looking into how could I help this group without using too much of my money, because frankly, I don't have much money in Denmark. It's a rather small country. So meeting facilities, maybe paying for the lunch, breakfast, stuff like that. Every now and then, see if I can help with a speaker from Corp. Those smaller things, but meeting facilities, Ken once in a while used a meeting facilities in another company and paid like $2,000 for the room for each meeting. And that's a lot of money for a user group. So if we could provide the meeting rooms for free and maybe pay, that's a big help, I think, and that's what we are able to provide. So in my guess, every Microsoft employee around the world would be happy to help host a user group.
Yeah, and I mean, for us, it's a huge help, because the beginning when we were hosting our events outside of Microsoft, we're using all of our money we got from sponsors to pay for lunch and to pay for the meeting facilities that was rather expensive. So that's a big help. I've been running user groups also. The last one I tried to start was in Denmark. I contacted my one of the local ones from Denmark, and she helped me out, saying, okay, I will reach out to the Des Moines office. And the Des Moines office was like, sure, you can host it here, but you have to be done by 5 o'clock. And I was like, I can't really do that because the meeting is starting 5:30. But then they were like, okay, but we can host it at the local brewery. Even better. So again, my point of contact there was my local Microsoft office, and they helped out a lot there. So, yeah. Now a word from the sponsors. I've added some of the sponsors that I know are very keen on engaging. Not all of them are here, but Parallels. If you're interested in, you know, getting knowledge about Mac and how you can integrate Mac with your management products, Microsoft management products, you can contact us or Aaron. They would love to stop by and talk about that. Just make sure when they stop by, they don't do it for free. So again, as Wally's saying, have them, you know, pay for the lunch at least, and they will do that. Then we have Wani, and we have Lauren in the room. So if you...
Hi, guys. I'm Lauren. I'm a senior marketing manager at Wani. So we actually sponsor user groups across the U.S. and EMEA as well. When it comes to sponsorships, from my perspective as a marketing person, there's a few key things that are important for us when we're sponsoring user groups. So the main purpose is for networking. For me, I want to get my technical guys out speaking, networking with people, presenting content, as well as using the user groups for their own professional development and learning. When it comes to sponsorships, it really varies across user group as far as how established you are and what kind of sponsorship levels you have. So there's definitely groups where, like Kent's group, for instance, where we have a yearly sponsorship. There's groups where they don't really have the financials set up, so we'll sponsor lunch. I've definitely done sponsorships where a speaker is coming to town, but the group needs us to cover their hotel. Flexible when it comes to what types of sponsorships, and I think that most companies are. We're really just trying to get our own folks out in the community. We want to make sure that we're, you know, delivering valuable content. So it's, I'm not sending my sales guys. I'm sending technical people that are going to demo and deliver something valuable. So, I mean, it's really important for us as far as just getting our name out there. And I think if you're talking with a sponsor and you have specific questions or they're asking you for things, you can definitely say no to certain things. But just understand from their perspective that they want to be able to support the group, but then kind of there's a beneficial part of that. So, you know, I often help promote it on social media as well. So Meetup's great too. So you can include them in your mailing list. So when they're asking, oh, how many people are here for a meeting, they can literally just check your Meetup page and they don't have to bother you.
But yeah. And I reach out to Lauren a lot. Just did that recently for one in Charlotte, and it's always, yes, sure. So that's I mean, that's really, really nice. And when you're starting your user group, I mean, you can't expect 200 attendees the first time and 500 sponsors, but that's not important. I mean, as long as you get started. Sarison, that would be you, Wally.
I knew that.
Yeah, just since you're not drinking coffee, I'm just not sure.
Oh, if I don't drink coffee, making sure I'm awake. Yes. So you guys all know I worked for Microsoft for 22 years, and I'm not a salesperson. So, but at Microsoft, I was very much into the community, doing events and helping keep some MVPs in line. So I was out in the community, and when I decided to leave Microsoft, it was very important for me to go to a company also doing community work and out there, which Cyrison is. So that's what led me there. We also do sponsor user groups. We've done Las Vegas and San Diego, Southern California, and a few others, including our local one. But I'm there. I'm on the board, but I talk about Cyrus and stuff unless we're sponsoring. So it's important to keep that separation there. And when we do sponsor, it's about our technologies, but how those technologies, like Lauren was saying, how our technologies help you out in your environment with Configuration Manager or Service Manager, which a lot of our products are. So we're open to sponsoring as well, and we sponsor obviously a lot of events along with a lot of the other sponsors. So just try and keep people up to date and be out there to help in the community as much as possible, as we always want to do.
Cool. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mike.
Hello. I work for Veeam, but no sales, I've heard. So we're a big green boot over there, if you want to. we believe in community and in user groups for many reasons. We see community bigger as only user groups, so forums and those kinds as well, but today was user groups. For many reasons, first, you know, to give back like everybody else of the sponsors, but also because we can learn from user groups. One of the nice things about user groups compared to a session like here, like Ignite or any other vendor conference, is that they're going to be honest to you, that we do bad, what we're missing, and so we can learn from that. Networking is also extremely important, and I think there are a few things. If you approach Veeam, it will kind of depend a bit on the area, because we're a global company, and we had to make sure that now user groups are supported by the local. If you want to get sponsorship, there are different ways to do that. First, unfortunately, because we're growing rapidly, that means try to have those dates as soon as possible, and then approach us as soon as possible. We work with yearly budgets. That means if you come in and you say, hey, we're having a user group in 2 weeks, can we get money? That's more. But you know, if you're still in that situation, there's always other types of help, like I've heard here, food, maybe hosted in a bar. I mean, I am from Belgium. That's my favorite place for having a user group. Have a location as well. If we can provide it in that area, that's also a way of sponsoring. You know, if you know it upfront, try to approach your local teams and then engage from the beginning with them and tell them what you are going to deliver, but also what you expect from the sponsor. And that's something I wanted to stress out. That's rather important. Unfortunately, we are a .com corporate and not a .org, so we do need to make some money. And when we go to events like this, we work on leads. We need to generate leads. Now, if you're okay and your user group is okay by sharing names and email addresses at the end, you basically have already an edge up, unfortunately. Now, I do know some user groups don't want to do that, and I agree with that tactic. So then you need to prove what's the value for your sponsor. And over the last couple of years, working with different regions, I've seen a couple of very, very smart user groups who take... tell our marketing departments how they can get value out. One of it is, for example, you know, have a little table, throw out some swag, and, you know, everybody who comes gets a scan or a name or something, and, you know, that's a way of getting leads. Another thing is always make sure there's networking and talk to those local guys. Don't send the marketing person. Sorry, but I am kind of thing as well, although... But send in one of your engineers, send maybe even, you know, a bigger name that works in R&D, and let them talk to a lot of people and engage that as well. Push that from your user group. Show that your networking part, you know, the beers afterwards, is the most important part of that group. And as well against our teams. If you say, okay, you're giving us money, you're giving us food, I don't know what you're giving us, you get a 30-minute, 45-minute session, whatever, make sure you push them, but don't bring in a sales manager saying something about blah, 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 which everybody has seen 100 times. Make it a very technical. Even try to put one of the sponsor speakers together with maybe somebody from the audience, somebody from the user group that's been a few times, so they can have a shared story. Because in the end, if you look at companies like us, we do a lot. We have different stories, but, you know, it's kind of a repeat after a while. It's, look how great our UI is. Look what you can do with PowerShell. But we've done that 20 times. If you can combine it with somebody from the community, from that area, and, you know, actively search for that, they have different experiences. They have different infrastructures, and they bring another story, which is important for the people listening, but also important for Veeam, because that brand and the engineer can go back and, damn, that was a good idea. Maybe I can do something around it. So it's about playing a bit with those sponsors. What can you give them, and what can they give you? And you know, the networking is very important. Really try to push that. You know, there's going to be 50, 60 people having beers. Get somebody in that's good that can talk to the different people. And then give them leads is always good. It's always giving you, unfortunately, a foot more. But if you don't do... try to figure out other ways how you can promote them. And I think that's most of the important. Well, I'll try to be in time. One other thing that I forgot to put in here is try to use the sponsor's marketing engine. If you want to get more people, and you know it's a local somewhere, I don't know, Chicago or New York, if we're in and you're in time, say, hey, can't you send a newsletter for this local people? We have those databases, and maybe you attract as well.
That's a really good idea. I haven't even thought about that myself. So we are one of the user groups that are not handing out the names, and sponsors don't really like that. So we kind of just said, you know, have a draw at the end. And in Denmark, if it's just, you know, you can win a plastic cup, you'll see everybody, you know, try to win that plastic cup, and then you have the names. It's super easy. It's just, you know, just think a little out of the box. And the sponsors, they're doing that. So that's pretty cool. I know we have, at one point, we could win a test drive in a Ferrari. And so for stuff like that. So that's really, really neat. Flexera? You have to fill it in. Sorry about that.
What happened to the slide here? Megan McKeown with Flexera, formerly Sukunya. So I've been with Sukunya about 6 years. And we opened up a U.S. office in North America in 2013. And a big reason that I think our brand got recognition in North America was through the user groups. So we started a lot of work in 2013 with the user groups. I would say that as a user, I would agree, we do yearly sponsorships of the user groups that have like a reliable base that we know is going to be showing up every single time. So if 50 to 100 to 150 are coming, we can justify that kind of yearly investment. And then for the other ones, we do monthly investments, which makes sense because if 10 people show up at the beginning, my investment as a sponsor is 10 people's lunch. You know, that works. That balances. I would agree the big thing for us as a sponsor, I have to justify this internally. So leads or contact information is really important. If your user group is not going to share that, that's okay. I just need to know that in advance so that I can set up a raffle or something like that. And also, I did just want to add on top of that, the marketing bit, we have a huge database. And as a sponsor, I want you to have as many users and community members as possible show up. So we're happy to do marketing campaigns, email blasts. We have a list of all the, for example, our customers, our prospects, our old customers, who would be really usually interested in showing up. So we can support maybe a little bit more than people realize user groups that are starting up. It's not a big effort for us, and it can help everybody. So that's kind of like a win-win-win. And beyond that, important. And then the other thing is, as it was already mentioned, giving us heads up is really important. So I can maybe find the money for a lunch for a week in advance, but I don't have the right resources, to then go and do the demo and do the presentation. And it's not meaningful for my organization. So ideally, we have a 4-week heads up. That way I can kind of get it all in line. Or, of course, you can do yearly planning when there's bigger events. I think everything else was kind of mentioned, so
yeah.
That's it.
So one thing that you mentioned, Megan, is that it is really a win-win. I mean, it's even a win-win-win because the sponsors, they will win. As a user group leader, you will win because you get, you know, sponsors and you get a user group that is really active. And also the attendees, they will definitely also win because once you have the sponsors, I mean, you can, you know, there's a lot of more stuff that you can do. You can fly in, as I mentioned, some interesting speakers and what have you.
I have a question. Where do you find your speakers?
So where do I find my speakers? One of the resources you can sign up for that in the beginning, one of the links there is the Microsoft community, and in there you'll get a list of speakers, but. But Garth really wants me to say we should narrow it down to MVPs from Canada. but I mean, getting speakers, you don't have to worry about that, you know, the first time. In your area, you probably have, you know, organizations, universities, you know, administrators who are willing to share their information. If you can just get 5 or 10 in there and you can start, you know, sharing info, really good. Otherwise, you know, reach out to Microsoft, reach out to some of the MVPs. The MVPs, normally they love to sit on a plane for 24 hours and present for 45 minutes and go back home. They don't have a life. that's a really good one.
There's also sponsors that you know, for me, it's important that the community of your user group that day is talking about, for example, System Center ConfigMan, because that's the solution that plays in with our tool. So there's certain speakers that I know attract that audience. So as a sponsor, it's really meaningful to me if you said Kent is showing up, because I know that the people who want to see Kent speak are looking to talk about SCCM. So that's a good thing for sponsors to understand too when you do get speakers.
Yeah. Mike mentioned the Office 365 subscription. So you'll get an Office 365 subscription for free, which is kind of nice. There is a link in the so you can go in and fill in the information about that. That works every single time. So they will give it to you. Any questions? Anyone interested in starting a user group and just, you know, need the final kick? Just let us know.
I'm actually interested in starting a user group within my organization. I have 100,000 users that are geographically, globally dispersed. And any tips or ideas on how best to start from within an organization versus the full community?
So are you doing that at the university, Matthew?
So we do that at the university level, and I do it in my corporate office as well. So we get the IT community all the way down, because we are a global company. I work for Schlumberger, so we have 2,000 offices. So to do that, we do an email. We have an email list to all IT that says, hey, we're going to discuss this topic. And typically, when we start with a basic topic. Hey, how can we get users to, you know, not click on bad links or whatever? So you get that interest going. We typically try to get, since I'm up in the enterprise group, we get somebody at the top level that says, hey, I can give you the entire world. Because an on-site person can't see what's going on in the exchange group. So then you start going at the exchange administrators, and you get those people to discuss the technical aspect within their company. Here's how we're doing exchange and so forth. That also breeds learning down the chain, so you hope that they will eventually promote into the exchange group, or they could even leave the company. But the idea there is to get the people knowledgeable within the entire company. And that is that what you're trying to achieve?
Yeah. And increase adoption and best practices.
So were you using webcasts, or what were you for this?
We used Skype, because we have our Skype set up. So we create the presentation. We do sometimes put a video up there, but otherwise we're all using Skype. Was the link, obviously.
Question? Yeah.
Next. For those that are running group meetings now, how do you deal with registration and no-shows? Like how far in advance are you sending out invitations?
Yeah. So that's for us, we're using Meetup. So in Meetup, I mean, you have everything integrated in there. Before that, we were using Eventbrite. And the problem, one of the issues of, you know, everything is free, is that you have a lot of no-shows. So we do our best, I mean, in the meetings, at those who showed up. I mean, we're not going to put the blame on them, but we're just trying to tell them it's actually costing us for every of the attendees. We have breakfast and lunch. So that's easily $20 per person. And we might have a 10-20% no show up. So that's, you know, 20 times $20 for every meeting. So we try to, you know, let them go out and be, you know, the policemen. We at one point we were like, should we put the names out there? But we don't want to do that. And then now we, and since this is being recorded, but they're not watching this back home. So what we're doing is we know it's always the same. It's always the same people. So when we're sending out the invite, we just preferred invite list, and that's all the people who are actually showing up, because our user group normally sells out. So we give them the chance first.
So I'll add to that. As I used to run the Ottawa Windows Server user group, and I'd assume a 50% drop off right from the word go, and I'd order pizza accordingly for it. You will find that you'll get your core guys out there, and like Kent, we would always give them the first opportunity at things. The things I will also add is talk to your training centers around town. The MCTs will love to talk to you. The training centers will love to give you sponsorship, and they'll love to give you rooms for that, because they're not being used for that sort of stuff.
So. Yeah?
Just
least I'll give warning, you know, a couple days ahead of time, a week ahead of time as I get those emails coming. So as an attendee, that's really valuable.
Yeah. So in Meetup, as an administrator, you can go in and control that. So you can say, okay, we want to send out the invite, and then we want to send out a reminder. You know, if you send out the reminder 2 weeks before, what people will still forget about it. So we send out a reminder also a couple of days ahead of time, and then we always get, you know, someone who is dropping out, and that's perfectly okay that you're not showing up as long as you're telling us. I mean, that's the least you can do. And with Meetup, it's literally just, you know, I'm unable to attend, and then we know about that. So just remember, if you think that it's, you know, I'm extremely lazy and I'm running a user group, so it's not a lot of work. Of course, there is some work in it, but you know, once you have it going, then things start to get more and more easy. It's all about finding some good friends. So the only thing we do is we just send out a reminder, you know, hey, remember 2 days from now you will receive free training. So, and then they can go in and respond to that. Yeah. Question? So we have another user group back home, and I can see those two user groups just moving closer and closer and closer together. And I haven't talked to the other group yet, but that's one of the things that I'm going to suggest to them. Hey, why don't you know we just combine it all and then still run 4 meetings or 6 meetings, whatever. But then we might get 150, 180 in every single time. So yeah, that's a good idea.
So I'll also add that talk to your other user groups in town. So in Ottawa, we have a SQL, we have a DevOps, we have a SharePoint. Make sure you talk to them because there's a lot of overlap. They'll help test out your sessions because even though their people may not go to, they will tell their colleagues to go to your sessions. So it always helps with that.
So the 45 minutes are officially up. I do understand if you have to go somewhere. We as I said, we don't have a life, so we'll appear as long as you want. So, you know.
Some of us have lives, but we did the opposite. We actually talked about merging with the other user groups in the area. We decided not to because we didn't want to have 50 people show up and this session was going to be all on Configuration Manager and have people not come for that meeting. So we decided to keep on individual, so we're just the System Center user group up there and letting the PowerShell guys have their own and the SQL guys have their own. And it just to keep the topics more relevant to everybody that was in the meeting as opposed to have half the people sleeping for the meeting or not showing up. And you know, and on the other question, we use Eventbrite as our registration tool. And we run about 80 to 90% attendance for those that register. So we're still pretty good, but yeah, Eventbrite works well for us. And we do a reminder, I think a week ahead of time, a couple days ahead of time.
So our user group is a enterprise client management user group, but also an Azure and data center user group. And the attendees are often very different. So what we learned after a couple of years is that we shouldn't mix and match that. So now we have a data center day and we have an A because what we saw was half of the attendees, they left after lunch, and it's like, it's way better to do it like this. So as Wally's saying, do it focused. That helps us a lot. But we're still running all of it. So.
I think that's a good point. I didn't think about that. I think where I was more or less looking was still key screws, but maybe, you know, I have focus groups on the East and West Coast that are of the same topics, same discussions, and that you do want to actually bring those groups together because they're on the same topic.
You could also do like joint meetings, like so Chicago, they have a Windows 10 room.
We do try to cross promote, and I know one time this was a few years back. We really wanted to get Wally to come out, so we scheduled I think it was a Wally roadshow or something like that, where he hit like San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, and then on his way back, he stopped in Phoenix. Yeah. So, yeah, I think he was a little exhausted after that, but yeah, we will try to do that once in a while, because then if we can kind of share that cost as well for the travel and whatnot, it makes sense. So.
And for sponsors, that's very useful. So, you know, we're happy to sponsor something like that if we know that there's a speaker relevant to our topic that's going from user group to user group. And like a roadshow of sorts, that works for us too.
Even like you said, people all across going to an event like this have, you know, instead of everyone going to a vendor event one night, have a meetup. You know, do sponsors and speakers like doing that too?
Yeah, that's great. You guys do that a lot. I mean, also at like IT Dev and other event user groups at the beginning and the end that sponsors would be happy to participate in.
Yeah, and the big advantage to that as well is if you've got the sponsors flying in anyway and some good speakers from the sponsors, staying one day longer or one day earlier is most of the time not a problem. And it gives some other advantage, something what I forgot as well. Sometimes approach your sponsors in a 1+1 relationship, right? I mean, if you're having a topic on Microsoft and you know Microsoft is doing some sponsoring, but you want, for example, you know, at System Center, you want also a third-party add-on for System Center sponsoring, let them work together, share the costs, or maybe make Microsoft pay more and the sponsor a little bit less. And let them do a session on that, because that brings also value to the user, seeing a total, you know, investment on those add-on, additional funding and additional people coming over.
Question?
This is a little off-topic a little bit, but I'm a mentor for our robotics team. One of the things that we have an issue with is getting all of our students, high school students, educated on different aspects of building robots. So putting a user group where they would have speakers with programming, mechanical, electrical, all those different things, but how would you go about
actually, certainly in the area where I work, it's not that difficult. The reason is, as a vendor, you can see that as a long-term sponsorship. There are many reasons for that. First, I mean, if you play it a little bit smart as a vendor, you can talk very, very technical, but, you know, still digging everywhere. Students don't forget that, that's one. It doesn't cost really that much because universities have their own equipment, they have big rooms, so, you know, buy some beers afterwards, and unless it's Denmark where beer is extremely expensive, it should be okay.
Maybe not for high school kids. This is the States, it's not Europe.
High school in Europe is starting from 18, so. Okay, then buy sodas, whatever. But also, you know, a smart marketing person will use that, you know, in their marketing newsletter as, hey, look at us, Veeam was presenting at that high school, you know, giving back, and that's marketing as well. So it's not really that difficult, at least from our perspective, to get people from our side to those and, you know, get some sponsoring or cookies and soda or whatever you want to. Apparently, I can't say beer now. But that should be possible as long as, again, you got a good plan. This is what I want to reach out.
Try your libraries. A lot of libraries will rent out space at no cost to you. You just have to book it in advance. Yeah. That's honestly for high school, I'd look at the high schools, or I'd try the community center or the libraries is the simplest point. A lot of the sponsors will, I hate to say it, won't see the value so much for high school students, particularly not in their area, but, you know, try them. What's the worst thing that happened? They say no, and you go, hey.
I will say that I work for an oil and gas company, and my sister's high school is sponsored by my company for robotics. And they just emailed a whole bunch of engineering companies and said, do you have knowledge of robotics or engineers that know about the Lego Robotics and Lego Mine and so forth. And Schlumberger, being big in Houston, reached out and said, yeah, we've done that several times. So they have an engineer that actually goes and to the school and helps them with those classes. So just reach out, email companies and engineering companies and see if they have an interest in helping.
And also, I go down to Flexera's booth. There's a guy down at Flexera that I used to work with Microsoft, Jim Dempsey. He's big into robotics in the Washington area, so he'd probably have some pointers for you, too. And he's down there manning the booth a bit.
So what you're saying is Flexera will sponsor all these robots?
I did not say that. I did not say that at all. Just go talk to Jim personally. Ignore that he's got the Flexera shirt on, and he may have some pointers for you. I'm not putting any words in Megan's mouth.
No, putting the words.
Or any dollars on her credit card chart.
And as long as it's Lego, then I'm happy. Yeah.
So how have you guys reached out to gather, like, if we're wanting to start a group, what are some of the ways that you guys, Megan had mentioned that she would do marketing for, you know, gathering resources, that you guys have reached out to the community to gather interest, just, you know, for your initial startup?
So
Microsoft, talk to the TAMS. So Twitter, Facebook, talk to the TAMS. The TAMS are actually one of the best sources because you'll get a lot of micro. You know, they do have to play an interesting game, you know, with privacy laws. But a lot of times they will tell their people saying there's this presentation's coming into town, and they'll leave it at that. And it's up to them to decide if they're going to go or not. But the TAMS are a good one. If you hit up Flexera and you hit up 1E and the rest of those vendors and they all do a blast for you, I'm sure you'll have a ton of people show up at these things.
And then remember, the goal is not to have 200 attendees the very first time. I mean, I think, Mike, you said, you know, take it slow in the beginning. Yeah. I mean, I've been to meetings in your group where we were like 10, 15. And those meetings has been like super, super good because it was a two-hour discussion, different universities, you know, different industries. I got a lot out of those as a speaker also. So, I mean, don't have to be 200 to justify a user group.
And some of the best presentations that we've ever had are ones given by user group members saying, this is how I solved my problem at my company. So people trust it because it's a non-sales pitch scenario, and it's the person answering the questions like has truly lived this world. So.
There's a site out there called myitforum.com. So the SMS community, which was what Config Manager used to be, is a very tight-knit group of people. In fact, the Microsoft Management Summit and the old MMS actually started off as a user conference before Microsoft acquired it. And, you know, Wally's been around for ages. A lot of us have been doing this since in 97 in the industry with SMS 1.2, and they still maintain a mailing list. It's SMS mailing list out there at MIT Forum. So you can sign up to that and you can email out to there. And that's how I initially started to, hey, is anybody in Arizona, you know, come to this user group? And I know Rod Trent, you know, he's pretty good about promoting user communities. In fact, we have a email distribution list that we still use that people sub into, and that's our primary mechanism of communication, actually. So, you know, that's a very concentrated group of people that are doing just CM or OSD or both CM and OSD stuff. So that's one good way. And then, of course, there was a grassroots effort to kind of revive how MMS was started as a user community. So MNSCUG had started the Midwest Management Summit, and that's another conference that takes place in Minneapolis, and that's all just grassroots community. You'll get tons of Microsoft MVPs. You get the sponsors that are deep entrenched in the community, and that place for networking and finding people that are in your industry and into that local community feel and want to, you know, grow user groups, local user groups.
Yeah, we have to cut it. So we can move the discussion outside. So thanks a lot for attending.